It was hard to be embarrassed by Nanny Ogg because her laugh drove embarrassment away. She wasn't embarrassed about anything. Today, Tiffany, with extra pairs of socks on to avoid unfortunate floral incidents, went with her around the houses, as it was known to witches. "You did this for Miss Treason?" asked Nanny as they stepped out. There were big fat clouds massing around the mountains. There would be a lot more snow tonight. "Oh, yes, and for Miss Level and Miss Pullunder." "Enjoyed it, did you?" said Nanny, wrapping her cloak around her. "Sometimes. I mean, I know why we do it, but sometimes you get fed up with people being stupid. I quite like doing the medicine stuff." "Good with the herbs, are you?" "No, I'm very good with the herbs." "Oh, there's a bit of swank, eh?" said Nanny. "If I didn't know I was good with herbs, I'd be stupid, Mrs. Ogg."
"That's right. Good. It's good to be good at something. Now, our next little favour is..."
Giving an old lady a bath, as much as was possible with a couple of tin basins and some washcloths. And that was witchcraft. Then they looked in on a woman who just had a baby, and that was witchcraft. And a man with a very nasty leg injury that Nanny Ogg said was doing very well, and that was witchcraft too. And then, in an out-of-the-way group of huddled little cottages, they climbed the cramped wooden stairs to a tiny little bedroom where an old man shot at them with a crossbow.
"You old devil, ain't you dead yet?" said Nanny. "You're looking well? I swear the man with the scythe must have forgotten where you live." "I'm a-waiting for him, Mrs. Ogg," said the old man cheerfully. "If I'm going to go, I'll take him with me." "This is my girl Tiff. She's learning the witching," said Nanny, raising her voice. "This is Mr. Hog Parsley, Tiff." "Tiff?" She snapped her fingers in front of Tiffany's eyes.
"Huh?"
said Tiffany. She was still staring in horror. The twang of the bow as Nanny opened the door had been bad enough, but for a fraction of a second she could have sworn that an arrow had gone right through Nanny Ogg and stuck in the door frame.
"Shame on you for firing at a young lady, Bill," said Nanny severely, plumping up his pillows. "And Mrs. Dowser says you've been shooting at her when she comes up to see you," she added, putting her basket down by the bed. "That's no way to treat the respectable woman who brings you your meals, is it? For shame."
"Sorry, Nanny," muttered Mr. Hogparsley. "It's just that she's as skinny as a rake and wears black. 'Tis an easy mistake to make in poor light."
"Mr. Hogparsley here is lying in wait for death, Tiff," said Nanny. "Mistress Weatherwax helped you make the special traps and arrows, ain't that right, Bill?"
"Traps," whispered Tiffany. Nanny just nudged her and pointed down. The floorboards were covered in ferociously spiked man-traps. They were all drawn in charcoal.
"I said, isn't that right, Bill?" Nanny repeated, raising her voice. "She helped you with the traps."
"She did that," said Mr. Hogparsley.
"Ah, I wouldn't want to get on the wrong side of her."
"Right, so no shooting arrows at anyone except death, right? Otherwise Mistress Weatherwax won't make you any more," said Nanny,
putting a bottle on the old wooden box that was Mr. Hogparsley's bedside table.
"Here's some of your jollop, freshly mixed up. Where did she tell you to keep the pain?" "It's sitting up here on my shoulder, missus, being no trouble."
Nanny touched the shoulder and seemed to think for a moment.
"It's a brown and right squiggle, sort of oblong."
"That's right, missus," said Mr. Hogparsley, pulling at the cork on the bottle. "It wiggles away there and I laughs at it."
The cork popped out. Suddenly the room smelled of apples.
"It's getting big," said Nanny. "Mistress Weatherwax will be along tonight to take it away."
"Right you are, missus," said the old man,
filling a mug to the brim.
"Try not to shoot her, all right. It only makes her mad."
It was snowing again when they stepped out of the cottage, big feathery flakes that meant business.
"I reckon that's it for today," Nanny announced. "I've got things to see to over in Slice, but we'll take the stick tomorrow."
"That arrow he fired at us," said Tiffany.
"Imaginary," said Nanny Ogg, smiling.
"It looked real for a moment," Nanny Ogg chuckled.
"It's amazing what Esme Weatherwax can make people imagine.
Like traps for death?"
"Oh, yes. Well, it gives the old boy an interest in life. He's on his way to the door, but at least Esme's seen to it that there's no pain."
"Because it's floating over his shoulder," said Tiffany.
"Yep. She put it just outside his body for him so it don't hurt," said Nanny, the snow crunching under her feet.
"I didn't know you could do that."
"I can do it for small stuff, toothaches and the like. Esme's the champion for it, though. We're none of us too proud to call her in. You know, she's very good at people. Funny, really, because she doesn't like 'em much."
Tiffany glanced at the sky, and Nanny was the kind of inconvenient person who notices everything.
"'Wondering if lover boy is going to drop in?' she said with a big grin.
"'Nanny, really?'
"'But you are, aren't you?' said Nanny, who knew no shame. "'Of course, he's always around when you think about it. "'You're walking through him. "'You feel him on your skin. "'You snap him off your boots when you go indoors.'
"'Just don't talk like that, please,' said Tiffany.
"'Besides, what's time to an elemental?' Nanny chattered. "'And I suppose snowflakes don't just make themselves, "'especially when you've got to get the arms and legs right.'
"'She's looking at me out the corner of her eye "'to see if I'm going red,' Tiffany thought. "'I know it.'
"'Then Nanny nudged her in the ribs "'and laughed one of her laughs that would make a rock blush. "'Good for you,' she said. "'I've had a few boyfriends myself "'I'd have loved to stamp off my boots.'
"'Tiffany was just getting ready for bed that night "'when she found a book under her pillow. "'The title, in fiery red letters, "'was Passion's Plaything by Marjorie J. Bodice. "'And in smaller print were the words, "'Gods and men said their love was not to be, but they would not listen. "'A tortured tale of a tempestuous romance "'by the author of Sundered Hearts.' "'The cover showed, up close, a young woman with dark hair "'and clothes that were a bit on the skimpy side, in Tiffany's opinion, "'both hair and clothes blowing in the wind. "'She looked desperately determined and also a bit chilly. "'A young man on a horse was watching her some distance away. "'It appeared that a thunderstorm was blowing up.
Strange.
There was a library stamp inside, and Nanny didn't use the library.
Well, it wouldn't hurt to read a bit before blowing the candle out.
Tiffany turned to page 1, and then to page 2. When she got to page 19, she went and fetched the unexpurgated dictionary. She had older sisters, and she knew some of this, she told herself. But Marjorie J. Bodice had got some things laughably wrong. Girls on the chalk didn't often run away from a young man who was rich enough to own his own horse, or not for long, and not without giving him a chance to catch up. And Megs, the heroine of the book, clearly didn't know a thing about farming. No young man would be interested in a woman who couldn't dose a cow or carry a piglet. What kind of help would she be around the place? Standing around with lips like cherries wouldn't get the cows milked or the sheep sheared. And that was another thing. Did Marjorie J. Bodice know anything about sheep? This was a sheep farm in the summertime, wasn't it? So when did they shear the sheep? The second most important occasion in a sheep farm's year, and it wasn't worth mentioning. Of course, they might have a breed like Habakkuk Poles or Lowland Cobbleworths that didn't need shearing, but these were rare, and any sensible author would surely have mentioned it. And the scene in Chapter 5, where Megs left the sheep to fend for themselves while she went gathering nuts with Roger, well, how stupid was that? They could have wandered anywhere, and they were really stupid to think they'd find nuts in June. She read on a bit further and thought, oh, I see. Ah, not nuts at all then. On the chalk, that sort of thing was called looking for cuckoo nests. She stopped there to go downstairs to fetch a fresh candle, got back into bed, let her feet warm up again, and went on reading. Should Megs marry sulky, dark-eyed William, who already owned 2.5 cows? Or should she be swayed by Roger, who called her my proud beauty, but was clearly a bad man because he rode a black stallion and had a moustache? Why did she think she had to marry either of them, Tiffany wondered. Anyway, she spent too much time leaning meaningfully against things and pouting. Wasn't anyone doing any work? And if she always dressed like that, she'd catch a chill. It was amazing what those men put up with. But it made you think. She blew out the candle and sank gently under the eiderdown, which was as white as snow.